Okay, Chris, tell me what you've learned about Birmingham, please.
Oh, right. There's a place called the Mailbox.
Yeah.
And that's where the BBC is.
Okay.
And there's a place called Grand Central, which is basically Birmingham New Street, the station, but
yes,
it's titled Grand Central, which is very confusing because that's also the name of a train station. But not that train station.
And what's the fact about Birmingham that everybody thinks that they know and they're the only ones that know it, but in fact, everyone knows it?
It's not as good as Manchester.
Well, that may be true, but that's not what I'm thinking of. It's got something to do with canals.
Oh, gosh. There's lots of them in Birmingham.
Yeah, more of them in Birmingham. Yes. More miles of canals in Birmingham than there is in Venice. That's the fact. And everyone knows that fact, but they all pretend didn't you?
Well, I didn't know that specific. I knew the fact was something around canals and there's many of them, but I didn't know compared to Venice that it's got more.
Yeah, there you go. Now that is over and done with. Welcome to this podcast, which is all about not Birmingham, but Eurovision. It's Norpois.
Yes, that's right, because a podcast about Birmingham would be very boring. But why were we talking about it? Well, we visited Birmingham because it was equidistant to us, basically, but also because obviously it was the last site of Eurovision being hosted in the UK. The Birmingham NIA was where it was hosted, so we did visit that on our trip, didn't we?
We did, and we had a very nice time. We had a nice meal and we had a nice little walk around.
We had a lot of walking.
Yeah, we did a lot
of walking. I looked on my watch afterwards and we walked about 11 kilometres.
It's enough, isn't it? Enough.
Yeah,
and Birmingham
yes,
city centre isn't really
so
that big.
I was so tired, Martin, the next day.
You have got little legs, I suppose. Coming up on this podcast, we're going to be trying something new and seeing how it goes. Because if you know anything about me and Chris, we love Eurovision, we really like it, but we're not experts at all. In fact, there's quite a lot we don't know and there's a lot we don't understand. And we thought we should really use this podcast as a way of changing that and educating ourselves a little bit more about Eurovision and maybe some of the history of Eurovision. So we're going to do a little thing called Trivia Time! Trivia Time!
Bum, bum, bum!
And we're going to try and teach each other some facts about Eurovision and some stuff that we didn't know, which hopefully we'll find quite interesting. So that to come.
Yes, indeed. And I've got a good one for you, Martin, I think. I think it's going to be exciting.
I know we did meet in Birmingham kind of for ease, but as you mentioned, one of the sort of the things about Birmingham is it was one of the host venues for the Eurovision Song Contest in 1998, because the UK won in 1997, and they went to Birmingham, I believe, because at the time it had the biggest arena in the country and was pretty much the only place that could host a contest of such a size. So they put it in what was then called the NIA, the National Indoor Arena, where they also used to film, do you remember Gladiators?
Yes. Oh, is that where they filmed it?
Yeah, they filmed Gladiators at
Gladiators.
The NIA.
I used to love that show. It was so good.
It was so good. Who was your favourite gladiator?
Oh, I really liked Wolf. I thought he was great.
Did. Everyone liked Wolf. I struggle to remember any of the other ones, to be honest with you.
Let me try and think. Wolf, was Storm one of them? Was one of them Storm,
yeah.
Maybe?
Basically, name X-Men and they were also probably gladiators.
Yeah, basically. And I remember they were all quite big lads, weren't they?
Yeah.
I don't know. One of them were called Thunder or something.
I don't think
just naming weather.
And the guy that went, Gladiators, yeah, will go on my... Oh, no, it was the other way around, was it? Contender, yeah, will go on my first whistle.
First whistle.
Gladiator.
Yeah, John something.
Yeah, yeah.
John something.
Oh, memories.
Memories.
Anyway, that was a slight sidetrack. Birmingham played host to the Eurovision Song Contest. In fact, it was the last time that it was hosted in the UK, 1998, and in the NIA, which now called the Birmingham Arena. Terry Wogan was hosting alongside...
No? Well, I've got it here, but Ulrika Johnson.
Yes, Ulrika Johnson is correct. You've got it in front of you. Okay.
I walked past outside a private members club once and she was having a jolly old time. She was, she'd had a little bit to drink, old Ulrika, oh, and she was having a good time.
Oh, well, she deserves it.
Yeah.
And what else can I tell you? Oh, it opened with the, a fanfare from some, you know, some very, what's the name of them? Trumpeters, but, like the sort of like Horse Guards Parade type thing, you know, it was very like a regal trumpet fanfare. Welcome Terry Wogan and Ulrika Johnson. By the way, Terry Wogan, who of course was doing the commentary for the UK, he did both for the entire night. He commentated and presented on television for the whole night. And they'd set him up a little booth in the in like the corner, but like backstage, a few meters from the stage. So he'd just run from one to the other.
Oh my God, that's a bit much, isn't it?
You wouldn't get Norton doing that. You wouldn't get Norton doing it, would you?
You would not.
Anyway, can you name any of the other places in the UK that have hosted the Eurovision Song Contest?
Brighton.
I don't actually know the answers to this because I haven't got it in front of me. I'm just wondering if you can name them. I think Harrogate was one.
Yeah, Harrogate was the one before Birmingham. Brighton
was one.
I do think
one.
It was in London once.
Yes, I think it was as well. I can't, but it was in like a theatre or something.
Yes, it was. So, I mean, people, I think, are always surprised when you say Harrogate.
Yeah.
Because it's not known for its kind of big venues, really. So it's an interesting one that I don't know the reasons behind it going there that year, what the thoughts were. But certainly now, obviously, you'd assume it'd be Manchester, London. It'd be one of those kind of places.
Yeah, well, you would. You'd think it would be somewhere with a big arena. But of course, at the time, what, in the 60s, holding the Eurovision in a big arena wasn't really a thing. You know, it would usually be a theatre somewhere. So as long as you had a theatre with amenities nearby so you could house, you know, you could put people up in hotels. I bet you Harrogate's got a really nice hotel next to a theatre. That's my guess.
That's all you need.
And that's
so,
all
yeah,
you need.
So, yeah, it was three times in London, then once in Edinburgh, and then, as we said, Brighton, I think the one that everyone sort of really knows for the Eurovision in the UK for, because obviously ABBA performed. London again, Harrogate, and then Birmingham in 1998.
There we go. Didn't know that it was in Edinburgh. That's...
Yes, no, I didn't know that. And it's interesting. It's only really been outside England once. But there you go. Yeah, three times London. Well, four times London, once Edinburgh, Brighton and Harrogate and Birmingham.
So there you go.
There you go. I have to say, Happy New Year.
Oh, yes. Well, you sort of do. Now, you're going to have to explain this to me because I don't really understand why, because it is September, the beginning of September. Why are we saying Happy New Year now?
Happy New Eurovision year, I should say. I haven't gone mad. I do realise it is not the actual new year. I'm not using it as an excuse just to have some champagne. But yeah, September the 1st is the first day of a new Eurovision season. And why is that? It's because songs published from then are eligible for the upcoming Eurovision. So in this case, ESC 2021, any songs published from September the 1st are eligible to go into the new Eurovision. And so people treat it as the start of a new Eurovision year. Obviously, you know, normally if we had a competition in May, all of the kind of like excitement from that would have, you know, petered out by now. We would have finished with all the sort of broadcasts about that. And so this is the time to start looking into the new year, looking at the new songs that are going to be part of the new Eurovision.
So if you happen to work for Eurovision and you needed a diary, the best one to buy would be an academic diary, because that would seem to coincide with the Eurovision. Yeah.
People would be like, oh, back to school? You're like, no, Eurovision.
Back to Eurovision. And it's probably because they all have a great big holiday in August, isn't it?
Well, you would, wouldn't you?
You would.
You would. You know, the site's marked it as well, and they've given us the facts. We already know about what's coming up for the next Eurovision. So it says Eurovision 2021 will take place in Rotterdam.
Yep.
It was obviously, it was due to host it obviously this year, but was cancelled. Semi-finals are going to be on the 18th and the 20th, 2021, and the grand final on the 22nd of May, 2021. And it's going to be at Ahoy in Rotterdam.
Ahoy! So all of this we knew. I have to say, I will be glad to see the back of Eurovision year 2020.
Goodness,
not been the best.
No, I mean, it's been the worst, really, hasn't it? I mean, it's not even been average. It's been the worst, Martin. Yeah. The worst.
Yeah, maybe there was. See, maybe this is what we'll discover at some point, that maybe there was a year in Eurovision history that was worse than the one where it didn't happen.
I mean, 1991, I think, was terrible broadcasting-wise, but I think that okay. It was chaos, but I don't think it was... At least there was one, so that was something.
It's already done better than 2020, hasn't
it? I mean, if you're listening, you're a Eurovision fan, and you can think of a Eurovision that was worse than this year, do get in touch. We're on Twitter, @Apoinol. I'll give you the rest of the socials a bit later. But yeah, just send us a message if you can think of one worse than... I certainly can't.
Okay, are you ready for this? We've been building up to this.
We have. I'm ready.
Go for it.
Okay. It's time for Trivia Time!
Very good. Very impressive.
Thank you very much. I've been practicing that. And of course, Trivia Time is where we bring you a little nugget of Eurovision trivia, because we are still learning all about the Eurovision, as you probably guessed from this podcast. We're still figuring out all the history of Eurovision. So each episode, myself or Martin will bring a little nugget of Eurovision trivia. And here's mine today. This is all relating back to 1962, and it's a little bit in relation to what we were talking about, the Eurovision New Year, because as we were saying, from the 1st of September, songs published from then can be part of Eurovision. And this is to do with one which is around a rule about songs mustn't have previously been performed in public before they become a Eurovision song. And it's a very odd one, this. I really don't understand how this happened. But anyway...
So you can publish a song, but you can't perform it.
It cannot have been performed in public. Now, that was the rule in 1962. I believe that is still the rule now. You can't have it... I mean, obviously, now it can be broadcast on YouTube because everything is.
But that's once it's been sort of decided, right?
I believe so. We will have to look more into this, Martin. There's plenty of these rules to look into. But yeah, so basically, the idea was here... It couldn't, because obviously there wasn't YouTube in 1962. There wasn't. It couldn't have been performed in public before the actual night of performance. Whereas now, obviously, we've got semi-finals, we've got, you know, all that kind of thing. So there's plenty of performances of songs before it actually goes out. But back then, you couldn't do that, which meant that, unfortunately, poor old Gitta Henning, which I think is how you say it, couldn't have their song in Eurovision. They were going to Eurovision with the song Jeg Snakker Med Mig Selv, I Talk to Myself, which was apparently a swing style number. It was one of six songs lined up for the Danish national selection. So they were at the very least going to go into the national selection. But it was disqualified before the event after its composer was heard whistling the tune in the canteen of the Danish broadcaster DR. And that deemed it to have broken a competition rule stating all songs must not have been performed in public before the national selection. So maybe that was more the national selection rule rather than Eurovision rule, perhaps. But
do you know what this smacks of? I think this smacks of jealousy.
Yeah.
I think that there was somebody who knew that guy had a better song, knew it was going to win, heard him whistling it because it was really catchy, and then went, right, I'm going to have him. I'm going to make sure she's disqualified. She's out.
Yeah.
And when, excuse me, I actually heard her whistling it in the canteen. So actually, I know what it sounds like now.
She performed it in public.
Technically, if you look at the rules, that's a performance in the public space. So because canteen is quite public.
Irritating voice you do there, Martin.
Well, it was an irritating man who said it, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And so there you go. I mean, she may have only just been like... And they were like, hey, wait a minute, that song's been performed.
But how would they know that the song had been performed if they'd not heard it before?
Well, that is a very good philosophical question, Martin. I don't know. Maybe the composer was, I don't know, whistling the entirety of it, or being like, I'm whistling the Eurovision song, and then whistling it again.
I'm about to begin whistling the Eurovision song. Here it goes. Gather round and hear it.
Yeah, but so unfortunately, poor old Gitta, it wasn't even her who whistled it. It was the composer, and she wasn't able to perform. So they sent, instead, the Danes sent a vuggevise, which means lullaby, of course, you know, where it only picked up 2 points. So, you know, maybe they made a mistake.
Serves them right for being so pedantic,
yes.
I think.
You'll be glad to know Gitta did get her shot at Eurovision glory. 11 years later, she had to wait.
Oh, wow. She bided her time, didn't
she? But she didn't represent the Danes. She represented...
Stalking the canteens of Denmark to make sure it didn't happen again.
You better not whistle. If I hear one whistle...
one sound out of you in this canteen.
You don't understand. 11 years ago, I wasn't allowed to represent Denmark. Yes. All right, Gitta. Yeah, but she actually represented Germany. She didn't represent Denmark. She'd obviously had enough of them.
She'd learned her lesson.
She finished eighth with Junger Tag. Oh, she also tried to represent Luxembourg, but lost out to Baccarat, believe it or not.
Oh, yes, sir.
And as this book points out, when you lose to Baccarat, you know it's time to call it a day.
Yeah, okay. That's probably true. I don't know. I'd happily lose to Baccarat. If I came second to Baccarat, I think I'd be doing all right.
You'd be talking about it a lot, wouldn't you?
I would.
So there you go. That was Trivia Time!
Very good indeed. I enjoyed Trivia Time and I will do it again. This time I'm going to come up with some sort of trivia and I'm going to do that next week. So looking forward to that. Thank you very much for listening to this edition of Nul Poir. I think it's been a little bit random, but we kind of got to some sort of knowledge.
That's new year
in the
for
end
you.
There. Well, that is, yeah, that's what happens. New year, new you. So new year, new us. And
you got any
be...
Eurovision resolutions, Martin? Anything you want to do in the new Eurovision year?
Well, I'd like to go to it. I mean, I'd like it to happen. that would be nice.
Yes.
That would be good, which we still have to kind of sort out, don't we? We've got to rebook ferries and rebook hotels and all sorts of things.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah,
that'll
so
be
that's something to look forward to. I think, I mean, it's a very simple one. I'd like it to happen so that I can go to it and enjoy it this May. That would be ideal.
Yeah, and I agree. I think I would like to go to see a final live. I don't know if that's going to be possible next year.
We haven't done that yet.
We haven't, actually.
That would be interesting.
We've normally we watch it at a Eurovision party, don't we? And we see the semi-finals live. But I'd like to see a final live. And I feel like time is short, so maybe next year I would. I'm not dying or anything, but just as in, you know, who knows what will happen in the years to come. So maybe next year will be the one.
Maybe it will. Thank you very much for your company over the last little while here on Nul Poir. What was funny?
Just about you. Yes, maybe it will. Anyway.
Move swiftly on. I'm trying to end this blinking podcast is what I'm doing.
Sorry.
Thank you for your company. Thank you for listening. Please do make sure you subscribe and leave us a review if that's something that you're able to do. It would be much, much appreciated, even if it's a nasty one, because it still helps the algorithm.
Well, no. It's better if it's good, though.
Oh, no, yeah, sure. Better for our self-esteem.
We'd rather. Just leave a good one. Forget what Martin says. Don't bother with the bad ones.
Are you going to do the contact details?
Yes, all right. @poir null Twitter, nullpoir podcast on Insta, nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com if you want to send us an email. And do, if you've got any thoughts on which was a worse year than 2020, could have been just because of the performances, could have been the broadcast or the presenters were terrible, anything like that. It doesn't have to be literally just because it didn't happen, or, you know, it's figuratively which was the worst.
There were some really bad years in the 90s and 80s.
There were some terrible years, yeah. So, in a sort of more jokey manner, which was worse than 2020, we'd love to hear. And do subscribe as well if you've enjoyed this.
Please do. Thank you, and we will see you again next time on Nul Poir.
Bye.